Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here today with this week's guest, John Kowalski. John is a brother, Catholic brother from here in the state of Michigan. He is a engineer at General Motors, and he's also very involved in a ministry in the church called Unbound. I've had guests on the program before that have spoken about it. It's just a simple, practical, very, very helpful tool to minister freedom to people who are struggling with various kinds of spiritual battles, lack of freedom in their life spiritually. And I've asked John to come and just share his story about how he got involved in Unbound. And then really, I want him to be able to explain what he learned and how the Lord has used him in different ways. And because I think it can seem like a mystery, the whole area of spiritual battle and spiritual freedom, and how, as an ordinary Catholic, can we actually be in a position, an ordinary Christian, to minister God's grace and God's power to people who really need help, who need encouragement, who need to be set free, who need to know the love of God. And so, John, welcome back.
Thanks. Glad to be back.
Now, for friends who are here today but weren't able to hear the program yesterday, you talked in the program about a turning point for you in which a close friend of yours and their family in their house are experiencing spiritual problems, like almost like the reality of a haunted house, how people talk about it, you know, like the presence of demonic and dark spirits. And you invited a priest to come, and he prayed exorcism in the house and celebrated the Eucharist. And when he celebrated the Eucharist, you said a tremendous kind of peace happened and the whole place was completely cleaned out. But you left there a little worried that the devil's kind of strong, and you didn't know enough at the time, but you were afraid of it. Say a little bit more about that, and then how Unbound has made a difference for you in that. So,
yeah, it was scary. It was scary because these are people that I know that are very near and dear to me, and here I am, you know, as a guy, you know, I want to tackle this. I want to fix it, and I can't. And so that was the lie that he planted, and it was such a powerful lie that it was talking me off my game. You know, should I be on this path of the diaconate? Should I even, maybe I'm making Satan mad at me, and maybe something, he's going to do something worse. Maybe I shouldn't pray. Maybe I shouldn't go to church.
You're probably thinking, you know, I know my own weaknesses. I know my own limitations. I don't think I know enough. I'm not perfectly holy, and maybe I have vulnerabilities that he can attack me on, or maybe I just don't know enough, so I don't want to wade into something that's mysterious to me. And that's what he tries to do to get us to be afraid of him. And
all the time, the time. And I'm very aware of that now, because it's like you said, you know, I can't do this. I don't know this. I don't have these skills. It's what I call an eye infection.
Yeah.
You know, I got an eye infection. And then that's my wake up call to say, wait a minute, I'm relying on I too much. Yeah. I need to rely on him.
One of the things that you had mentioned to me when we were talking about the whole experience of being with this priest and part of the discernment that went on, that there was some kind of tie to the Masonic world in that. Now, that's not the reason I'm bringing that up is not the first time I've heard that. I've spoken to different leaders who have been very involved in exorcisms and or deliverance ministry or something like that. We're helping people get spiritual freedom, come into spiritual freedom that they don't have because they're trapped in spiritual bondage. And some of them have said very clearly that the higher you get up in the whole Masonic world, that there's a spiritual power and a spiritual reality there. And in this particular case, there's actually something connected, wasn't there?
Absolutely, absolutely. So what happened was, as we found afterwards through prayer and interviewing my friend who owned the house had been in his family for many generations, four or five generations.
Yeah.
Well, and it had been kind of like a family story or history, and it was just kind of family lore. But we found out that his great-great-great-grandfather was one of the founding Masons in the area, and he's a very high-level Mason. And at that level, you basically, you commit your family and all generations thereafter to Satan. So there was a Masonic curse that was placed on the entire family, and that had to be broken, and that's why we had to get the exorcist involved.
Yeah, I was just thinking of St. Paul's lines from Ephesians chapter 6. He said, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God." Then he describes what that is. He says, stand therefore in the Lord, in the armor of God. You have nothing to be afraid of. And we live in a battlefield, right? Between a battle between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness is not, I mean, the ultimate victory has been won, and Christ has total authority over the kingdom of darkness. And all those who are in Christ and standing in Jesus have authority over the works of the enemy. But if you're not standing in Christ, that's a different ballgame altogether. But you ended up learning a great deal about this and going through, as you mentioned, this course on Unbound at the seminary.
Correct.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Unbound kept coming up in my life. Like I said, in I think 8 days, Unbound came up 12 times. So it's like, okay, Lord, I get it. So I went I went to the training, and it's the type of deliverance prayer invented by or created by Neil Lozano, who's like a Catholic man in Pennsylvania, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it's just a beautiful, gentle way of dealing with these kind of things. There's a 5-step process. The first step is repentance and faith. And this is where we repent. Jesus, I'm sorry for all I've done. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry you had to die for me. I'm happy you had to die for me. But my sins are big, and I admit that. Step two is forgiveness. And this is probably the biggest one. This is the hardest one. But I'll tell you what, when I prayed this Unbound prayer over some of the people, it's been amazing the things that people will just step up and forgive. And they will drop it like Peter dropped the nets. You know, I prayed over one woman who, at age 12, her father would routinely sexually abuse her. And for years, he would drug her and abuse her. And then she ran from him and went into a foster home. And guess what happened with the foster father?
Yeah.
And then she got into drugs, and then she was shot, and all this pain. And when we prayed, Peter, she's just like, I forgive, mm-hmm. and just dropped that net. Mm-hmm. And you can just see her whole countenance change. And that's just something that is not, I'll say, humanly possible.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly, in the experience we've had in Renewal Ministries and sending teams all around the world and ministering to people from Asia to Africa to India to South America, the United States, Canada, all over the place, one of the most common things that really becomes a place in which people begin to lose their freedom in the Lord is both through experiences of the kind of abuse you talked about, or just different ways in which they are unable to live in the freedom, because part of what's going on inside them is not only the pain and what they've experienced, but also the inability to forgive people who've sinned against them, not just in this area, but any area. And then what makes me think about it is Jesus' clear words in the Lord's Prayer. He said, you'll be forgiven as you're willing to forgive, and forgive 70 times, 7 times a day. And one of the things that many of our leaders talk about is one of the real most significant blocks to living in the freedom of the Holy Spirit as children of God is holding on to unforgiveness. And this key in the five keys is the one that really helps people release that, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It's tough to forgive. And the last person that, almost without exception, that everybody will forgive is themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, in the name of Jesus Christ, I forgive myself for getting into drugs, for watching pornography, for whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And that's usually the final release when I know that it's ready to go on to the third step mm-hmm. in there. And the third step, once they have laid that groundwork, third step is renunciation. So now we start to turn a corner and you start to take back your life from the lies and from the evil one. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce the spirit of alcoholism. I renounce the spirit of pornography. I renounce the lie that I am worthless. I renounce the lie that God doesn't love me. Different things like that.
Yeah. It's where you begin to stand up in the Lord. You lay hold of the authority that you've been given in Christ, and you take back. You begin to take back what belongs to you, your baptismal dignity and strength and freedom in Christ. Because when we're in the place where, as we talked about a variety of times on the program, where we're unwilling to forgive, that's the kind of place where we give the devil freedom to hassle us, and we give over what's rightfully ours. And so obeying Jesus, I think one of the things about forgiveness that I love often hearing people who are deeply involved in Unbound talk about is that being able to forgive people, it doesn't come from just feeling like, yeah, that's really what I want to do, but it's obeying Jesus. It's saying, you're the Lord, and this is what you're commanding me to forgive, Lord, and I say yes to you because I trust you, and I've turned to you in repentance, and I want to do what you want me to do because I know that's the way to freedom.
Correct. It takes two people to forgive, you and the Lord. Mm-hmm. It doesn't involve the other person. Mm-hmm. And once people realize that, that it's between me and God to forgive somebody, they can let go, mm-hmm. and they can do that.
Okay.
And all these steps have been so far what the person does themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what comes after renunciation then?
Key four is authority. So far, like I said, you're just walking the person through and helping them to meet Christ. So the fourth key is usually said by the unbound prayer minister. It can be said by the person too, but it's a very simple prayer. So I would say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take your authority over everything that Peter has renounced, every evil spirit he has named, every lie, and I command them to leave right now. Mm-hmm. And it's that simple. And then you just let them soak in that, yeah. as it were.
Yeah.
And Jesus may or may not touch them. He'll touch them. It may or may not be a physical thing. For me, it was kind of funny because when I was prayed for, I was expecting lights and fireworks,
yeah.
and things like that. So I for the authority key, I kind of knelt down, and the person who was praying over me put his hand on my head, and he said that very simple prayer. And then I was sitting there waiting, and I'm mentally going through, okay, where is it, Lord? What should I do? What should I see? Should I see anything? And he still got his hand on my head. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'm thinking too much. Maybe I'll stop thinking. So I stopped thinking. And then I thought, well, maybe I should. I'm like, you know what? How about I just be quiet and let the Lord be the Lord, you know?
Yeah.
And after about a minute and a half, I still feel his hand on my head. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, I guess this is it, you know? And I open up my eyes. And the man who was praying over me was sitting about 3 feet away from me like you are, with his hands folded. And I could still feel the hand on my head. Mm. And I knew it was Jesus' hand. And the really neat thing, 2 or 3 times since then, I've felt that again. And it's almost always coming out of confession. Mm. I'll walk out of the confession and I'll feel a hand mm-hmm. on my head.
Mm.
And it's a hearkening back to that unbound session where I realized, you know, I can give this to the Lord and he can take care of it.
Mm-hmm. So the fifth key.
The fifth key is the Father's blessing. And that's where a lot of the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful stuff comes out. Mm-hmm. And there's probably a couple ways to do it. You can either speak third person, you know, the Father loves you and he cares for you. A lot of times I will speak as the words of the Father. I created you, Peter, from the beginning of time, and I love you. I put the heart of a lion in your chest. I knew the problems you were going to go through, and I was there for everything that mm-hmm. that you went through, and I'm here for you now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of that sort of thing. And I usually just let the Lord guide on which mm-hmm. would be better.
And it's built on the idea of the Father's blessing. It's built on the blessing Jesus himself received from the Father when the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And Jesus received his identity and his destiny from the Father.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
And so we are baptized into Christ. We share in his identity and destiny. We're precious to God. We really, truly are. He loves us totally, 24/7, day and night, with the same love that he loved Jesus,
yep.
right?
Exactly.
And one of the struggles what the devil tries to steal from us is clarity about our identity and our destiny. So we just have a few seconds left in the program. Do you have anything else to share today?
Because the tie-in there that I saw that I realized later on was the spiritual healing and how it ties into physical healing.
Okay.
And it's so powerful.
Let's take that up tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Okay. Friends, so glad you could join us. And, you know, what the Lord has in store for each one of us is to step into the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. And the devil's a liar and a thief, and he tries to steal that from us. And in Christ, those who are baptized into him, we can stand with clear knowledge and confidence that the Lord is with us and that what he promises, he will give to us, to each and every one of us. I hope you can tune in tomorrow as John continues to share his story. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.